Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the word Kesuvos Daf Mem Vav. We begin on Mem Vav and Aleph, 8 lines from the top with the new Brisa, Tanu Rabbanan. The Brisa tells us the Unshu Oso. The whole pasuk is the Unshu Oso Meyo Kesef, the person who falsely accuses his wife of Rachmon Litzlan having committed adultery. So he's the Motzi Shemra about his wife. So we punish him. The Unshu Oso Meyo Kesef. So the Brisa tells us, obviously, this refers to ze momom. This is a financial penalty, the 100 slaim, the 100 kesef, that we go and penalize him. The Torah penalizes him this because of his false accusation. Then the next pasuk says, v'lochu zikneo ir hahi eso ish v'yisruo so. They then go and take the husband who falsely accused his wife, v'yisruo so. What does that mean? Ze malchus. The Brisa tells us this refers to the malchus that he is given. Now, Mark clearly says, Bishlomo, the onshu zeh momo, we understand why the onshu so is referring to monetary damages, because the puzzle says, the onshu so, meyo kasef, v'nosu l'vianara. So that's very, very straightforward and obvious that onish is referring to the monetary punishment that he gets, the 100 kasef. However, Ella v'yisru, how do we know that the yisru means zeh malchus minolim? Where do we see that? How do you know that the words v'yisru so refers to giving him malchus? So I'm Rabbi Avo. Rabbi Avo says this is the source because we learn now from the following series of comparisons or gzeirah shavos over here between the psukim. Lamadnu yisru me yisru. It says over here in the pasuk that we just said the yisru also, and then it tells us in regards to a ben sorer umorer ki el ish ben sorer umorer einin shomei b'kol aviv uv'kol imo. The Yisru also. So we have a gzeirah shava between the motzi shemra and the ben sorer umorer. Now, in that pasuk of the Motzi Shemra, it also tells us where it says v'yisru. It says v'ya in bin hakos harasha v'pilu ashofe v'kolu fun of kidei rishoso b'mispar. So in regards to the ben sorer morer, it uses the term in bin hakos. Now we had just used the word kiel ish ben sorer umorer. So therefore we have both psukim bain the kiel ish ben sorer umorer. And we have the pasuk where it tells us in bin hakos harasha. So that's the comparison between the ben sorer morer, where it tells us that you give him malchus in the pasuk where it says v'kol lufanov hayim bin hakos harasha v'pilu hashofi v'kol lufanov. So you give him malchus, and that's the connection that we teach us that by ben sorer morer when it says v'yisro, so it means malchus, and therefore while you're in bin hakos harasha, so that's a source that we have the malchus by the ben sorer morer, and we have connected the ben sorer morer v'yisro so to the motzi shemra, and that's how we know that v'yisro so regards to the motzi shemra is reference to malchus. Okay, Gemara continues and says, great, you know the punishments here, but you have to have ein onshin elo im kein masirin. We have the famous rule that you have to have both the punishment stated, but you also need to have a warning in the Torah before you can give the punishment. So, Asara, the Motzi Shemra Minola, where do we find the Torah warns the Motzi Shemra that he shouldn't do this? We now have the punishment. We just saw the Anshur so, the Yisro so, but where do we find in the Torah there's a warning for him not to do this? Ein Onshin, Ela Kemazirin. We must have a warning. So we have two possible suggestions as to what the psukim are. The first one is Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar Omar, we learn it out from Lo Selech Rochil Biamecha. We have the famous pasuk telling us don't go around. Peddlers are often doing this. Rashi elsewhere tells us that Ani Omer, his own personal thoughts about this are that Kol Mishalche Madanim, anybody who's going around and selling these delicacies or these spices or whatever the person who's going from house to house selling things, he's also Umasapri Loshen Hara, Holchim Bebote Re'ehem, Luragyo Mayiru Ra. They go around and look for the good gossip that they can say off to the next person. Mayishmu Ra, what they can possibly see or hear bad, and they go and tell it to the next person. So this is called Holche Rochil, means Holche Regila, means they regularly do this via walking, so to say. In any event, this concept of Lo Selech Rochil Biamecha is the warning, according to Rabbi Elazar, don't be a Motzi Shemra about your wife. Rabbi Nosson has a different pasuk. Rabbi Nosson Omer, he says, it's from the pasuk. The pasuk is, V'nishmarta mikol dovor ra. We learn it out from the pasuk that says a person should be very careful not to say over dovor ra. Nu, the obvious question is, why didn't each one like the other one's pasuk that they have to come up with their own pasuk? Rabbi Elazar, the Gemara says, my time lo amar mehai. Why didn't he like Rav Nosson's pasuk of Minishmarta Mikol Dover Roy? Should protect yourself and watch yourself from saying over any bad word. That sounds like it's Azhara against Moshe Shemra. Why didn't Rabbi Elazar like that? The Gemara says, because Rabbi Elazar needed the pasuk that Rabbi Nosson had brought, Nishmarta Mikol Dover Roy. How miboyle, he needed that, Lichit Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair. He needed it for the famous discussion that Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair used to darshan the pasuk Nishmarta Mikol Dover Roy, Mikan Omar Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair. Ayahara Odom Bayom, Vyavoli de Tumma Balaila. Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair used this pasuk Nishmarta Mikol Dover Roy, telling us that you shouldn't have hirurim about women during the daytime. You should try to keep your mind off of improper thoughts during the daytime, because if you don't, your Rahmanul Islam could be a balkari at night. You could have a seminal discharge at night, and that could lead to Lidei Tumah Balaila. So he used the pasuk Nishmarta Mikol Dover Roy, is don't think about improper thoughts during the day that would lead you to Rahmanul Islam becoming a balkari at night. And therefore, he doesn't have the pasuk Nishmarta Mikol Dover Roy to teach us the asara against the motzi shemra, and that's why he uses the pasuk Lo Selech Rochel Biamech. No, why didn't Rabbi Nosson use that pasuk? So Rabbi Nosson, my time lomar mehai. Why didn't he like the pasuk Lo Selech Rochel Biamecha? So Gemara says because Rabbi Nosson needed that to teach us the following: How Azhara the Beisdin Shelo Yehi Rach Lozeh V'Kosh Lozeh. That's a warning to the Beisdin that a person shouldn't be nice with one, rach means soft, he shouldn't be nice with one of the litigants, and kosher and harsh on the other litigant. The person who's harsh, he sees the judges against him, he's going to be totally disconcerted, he's going to be totally wiped out, and he's going to say, listen, I lost this case, and he's not going to present his case well, because he feels he's already lost. So therefore, it's unfair. He's going to be treated in a way that's not fair, so it's going to cause him to despair and lose the case, even though he may really legitimately have the winning case. So therefore, this is, Rabbi Nosson says, and sorry for Beisdin, lo selech rochel ba'amecha, Beisdin has to be not a rach, they can't be rach to one and kosher to the other. No, the Gemara doesn't say over here how Rabbi Elazar learns out this drush of Azhar le'Beisdin, and it doesn't say how Rabbi Nosson learns out Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair's drasha. No, they must have other ways, but the Gemara doesn't go into that. Okay. Gemara continues and says the following brisa: Lo amar li edim bo v'hayiduni. If the motzi shemra did not go and tell the witnesses, come and testify falsely on my behalf, and say that my wife was mezana rachmana l'slan during our marriage, or before our marriage, but the Hameidin also me'alem, but they come and testify in their own. He didn't hire them. He didn't speak to them. He didn't go and tell them to come. So in that situation, he doesn't get malchus. Who ain't a loke? He's as much duped by these false witnesses as the woman. He didn't hire them. He didn't have anything to do with them. So the Brisa tells us in that situation, the Yisroso doesn't apply, and he doesn't get malchus. Who ain't a loke? However, in that situation, he also, they don't know, say, may a slum. He doesn't have to pay the 100 slum penalty because he had nothing to do with it. These false witnesses came on their own. And therefore, he doesn't get malchus and he doesn't pay the 100 slum. Then, Brisa says, he, vizomimel, makdimin lebeis askila. In this situation, the woman had the false witnesses, they get skila. The Gemara says, the obvious question, we had this yesterday as well. What do you mean? He was over there. So how could it possibly be that both of them, either they're false witnesses, and the false witnesses who tried to kill her will get the skila, kasher zomim lasos, they tried to give her skila, so they're going to get skila. Or if they're telling the truth, and that she really did commit adultery as a nara murasa, so then she will get the skila. And the witnesses aren't false witnesses, they're true witnesses, and of course, therefore, they don't get skila. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? So the Gemara gives the obvious answer when it says, he, vizomimel, means either she or the false witnesses. If they're false witnesses, they'll get it. If they're true witnesses, then she'll get it. Ela ohi, o zomimel, whoever is telling the truth over here, so they're not going to be punished. So if the witnesses are telling the truth, then the woman will be punished, Rachmana Litzlan. And if the witnesses are lying, so Rachmana Litzlan, then they'll be the ones that get skila. Ela ohi, o zomimel, makdim lebeis skila. Fine. Gemara says further, Taimo de lo omar luhu. The reason why we say that the false witnesses are punished and the husband, as we said in the first part of this brisa, who ain't a loke, they don't know simei aslam, he doesn't get malchus and he doesn't pay the 100 seller penalty, that's because the lo omar luhu. He didn't instigate this. He didn't get these false witnesses to come. implication being, if in fact he did go and tell these false witnesses to come, so afogad delo agrinu, even though he didn't pay them to come, they were friends, and he says, listen, I don't like this woman, do me a favor, come and testify that she was mazana. So even though he didn't pay them, lafuke mid Rabbi Yehuda, as opposed to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who says that you must have paid them. So the Tanakam over here says that in this situation, even if you didn't go and pay them, so then he still is considered that he'll get Malkus and that he'll have to pay the 100 seller, even though he didn't pay them, but he asked them to come. As opposed to Lafuki, but Rabbi Yehuda, who says, no, in the Brice of the Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Enochayv Asheyiskor Edim. He has to actually go and hire these false witnesses. If they're friends of his and they come, then he wouldn't be getting Malkus and he wouldn't pay the 100 sloy. It's only if, in fact, he hired them to be false witnesses that these penalties apply to him. So the Tanakama, we certainly don't have to explain, because he asked them to come. So why would the Tanakama say that you shouldn't punish him? He should get Malkus, and he should have to pay the 100 slime because he caused the false witnesses to come. Where do you see money has anything to do with it? He asked them to come, or he paid them to come. What difference does it make? That's the Tanakhama's opinion. But Rabbi Yehuda, we have to explain that. My time to Rabbi Yehuda, where do we see a pasuk that says it's only if he hired, actually Yiskor Edim, that he has to pay the 100 slime and he gets Malkus? Where do we see that? My time to Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yavo explains. Oh, Rabbi Yavo, Asya Sima Sima. We have a Xer Shava of the words Sima Sima. Siv Hoch, it says in regards to the Motzi Shema, it says, Visom Le Alilus Dvorim. Motzi Aleha Shem Ra. He's talking about the Motzi Shem Ra. And it says he makes an Alilas Dvorim, right? A blood libel is called an Alilas Dam. So he makes over here this false libelous type of accusation that his wife, in fact, was Rachmona Litzlan, an adulteress. Uksiv Hasam, and it says in regards to the prohibition against taking ribbis, it says im kesef talve esani esoini imoch lo sielo kinoshe lo sisimun olov neshech. So the pasuk tells us lo sisimun olov neshech. So mala hal and mamun over there, it clearly says that you're not allowed to take neshech, meaning you're not allowed to go take the ribbis. So that's talking about money. So tovia, when it says sima, it says lo sisimun olov neshech, and we make zeru shav sima sima, it says v'sama lo alilas dvarim. So too, it must mean that according to Rabbi Yehuda, he was socher the false witnesses, and therefore eno chayv at sheyiskor edim afkan mamam. That's why the zeru shav teaches us in regards to the motzi shemra. Rabbi Yehuda holds that the horrible husband had to have actually paid for the false witnesses to come and not just got them to come by asking them to come. And the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, I'll show you that Rabbi Avohu's drasha is correct from the following Tanoim. V'chein Toni Rav Yossi Tzidoni Bei Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. I learned in the base medrash Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai this Gzeir Shava Asya Sima Sima, that we make this connection between you're not allowed to take ribbis, and that's talking about mammon, and it says Loshen of Sima as well over here by the Motzi Shemra, that teaches us that it has to be somebody that is hired by the horrible husband, Achi Yiskor Edim, then he's Chayev for Malkus, and he's Chayev the Meir Sloy. Okay. Gemara now questions Rabbi Yehuda, what about the following? Is that considered hiring? Is that not considered hiring? Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, clearly we just said, is you're not Chayev, ain't no Chayev, Achi Yiskor Edim. So what is the definition of hiring Edim? Is it only cash? Or if you paid them in other ways, does that also count? So boy, Rav Yirmiya. Rav Yirmiya is famous about Shas for asking these type of very detailed and specific questions. Sichoron b'karka mahu. If he paid them with karka. Karka is not considered like mamon in some ways. It's considered differently. And therefore, what happens if the horrible husband goes and tells Reuven and Shimon, listen, I'll give you this nice piece of land if you testify falsely against my wife. Sichoron b'karka, you didn't give him cash. So is that called mamon, or is that not called mamon? Question number one. What happens if b'pachos b'shava pruta mahu? If he gives him less than a penny. Now, normally less than a penny is not considered something significant, but do we say no, he hired them with money, albeit it's less than a penny, or do we say no, it has to be considered a penny in order to be significant? Next question. Shneyem b'pruta. Okay, he gave a penny, but he gave to the total amount was a penny, so that's significant, but he gave it to two people, so each one only gets a half a penny. In that situation, we can say, well, he gave them a penny. If you hold it, you need to give a shava pruta, so he gave a shava pruta. Or do we say, no, he didn't give each of them a shava pruta, so mahu. So these three questions Rav Yirmiya asked. Rav Ashi then gets into the game and asks the following shailas. By Rav Ashi says, what about Hotzi Shemra al Hanisuin Harishonim mahu? We have a strange case over here that Reuven marries this girl, Rachel, And he divorces her. He doesn't accuse her of being an adulteress when they were married or before they got married. And Rav Ashi says that the case, he divorces her. But then he takes her back, which he's allowed. He's not a Kohen. She didn't get married to somebody else. So Reuven remarries Rachel. And the second time around, Al Nisuyim Harishonim, he now, during the second marriage, brings these witnesses and says, listen, she was Mazana when she was a Nara Marusa during the first marriage. Now he comes and does it. Does he have the right to still go and make the claim of the woman being Mazana while she's a Nara Marusa? The next question that Rav Ashi asks is, Al Nisui Ochiv Mahu. What about if Reuven had married Rachel, and then Reuven dies. He dies childless, so Shimon does Yibum with her. And Shimon now comes along and says, hey, she's not a Basula. And he goes and brings witnesses that she was Mazana while she was married to Reuven, or during the time that she was in Arusa to Reuven. What would be the halacha there? So we have a total of five questions over here, three from Rav Yirmiyah and two from Rav Ashi. And the Gemara says at least we can answer the last question that Rav Ashi said. We leave a teku, so to say, the other four questions, but at least the last question that Rav Ashi asked, what about Anisui Acha, the Yibum situation? Can you or can you not be Motzi Shemra based upon Yibum situation that the brother Shimon is the one making the accusation about Reuven's wife, his dead brother Reuven's wife? So Pshot Miyachod, at least we can answer that question, because we have a brisa that Rav Yonah taught. The Tani Rav Yonah, as Biti Nosati Elisha said, the pasuk says in regards to the Nara Marasa, that it says that the father over here of the girl who is being accused of, the girl is being accused of being Mizana, so the father says, no, I gave my daughter over to this man over here, and she was a basula at the time. That's what the father says. The Amar Avi Anar El Azkenim, as Biti Nosati Lisha Zeh Lisha, I gave my daughter over to this man, and Vayisna, and he hated her, and he's making up these false accusations. So you clearly see from this pasuk, it's Laish Hazeh, Lozeh, so therefore, in the case of the Yavam wouldn't be able to go and be Motzi Shemra, and these dinim don't apply to a Yavam. Okay, Gemara continues and tells us, my Rabbanu, my Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Remember from yesterday's shir, we had a machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov as to whether the din of Motzi Shemra applies even if the husband hadn't lived with his wife. He had nisuin with her, but he didn't actually have relations with her. So what is the din in that situation? Does the din of Motzi Shemra apply or not? So the Gemara says, what exactly was this machlokas between the Chacham and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, which we alluded to in yesterday's shir? My Rabbanon, my Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The Tanya. So this is a brisa. The Gemara says, Ketzad Osor Shemra. How do we define what is the definition of a case of Motzi Shemra? So, Baal Beis Din, the husband, comes to the Beis Din, Yomer, and he says, Ploni lo motzasi lebitcho psulim. Ploni, meaning himself, I did not find psulim in my wife. Now, that implies, obviously, that he had relations with her. So, im yesh edim shezin sotachtov, if there are witnesses, in fact, that he brings, not that he just accuses her by saying, lo matzasi pesulim, either the Pesach Pesuch that we discussed earlier in the Masechta, or he said, that look, here are the sheets, there's no dam on them. That's different than if he brings along witnesses. So this guy, his husband, says, I didn't find pesulim, and he then brings edim, im yesh edim shezin satachtov, if he has edim that says that she had actually committed adultery, Rechmona Litzlan, during the time she was an Aram Urasa, so then, yesh lo ksuba mona, then she has a ksuba only of a mona, and he divorces her. Gemara jumps in and says, what? Im yesh edim shezin satachtov, if there are witnesses that she was mezana, so then, what are you talking about? She gets a ksuba of a mona. Yesh lo ksuba mona? No, baskilahi. She gets in fact skila. So that can't be the right understanding. The Gemara says, you're right. You're misunderstanding the Braisa. This is what the Braisa is telling us. If there are witnesses that he brings that state that Rechmon Lassan, she committed adultery while she was an Ara Murasa, so then baskila. Then she gets the punishment of skila. The Torah says there was Edom, there was Hasra, so she gets skila. However, Zinso Meikara, if she was Mazana, he brings witnesses that she was Mazana before she was an Aram Urasa. Well, she was a single girl. He brings witnesses that she had relations with somebody, and that's why he didn't find Basula, because she had premarital relations. She wasn't an Arusa to him, so it's not a Chiv of Skila, but in this situation, the Braisa tells us, Zinso Meikara, Yesh Lo Ksuva Mona. Then in this situation, she is entitled to a Ksuva of a Mona. And Rashi reminds us that this was a Machlokis that we had previously, that said, in Dira Masu Zinsu Mikor, Yesu Ksuvos Mana, Ksavar goes like the opinion that Konso Becheskas Besula, if the husband married his wife with the understanding or expectation that she would be a Besula, Venim says Beula, but then he finds out that she's not a Besula, so this goes like the opinion that says, Yeshlo Ksuva Mana. She does get a Ksuva Mana. There was another opinion that says she's not entitled to any Ksuva at all. It's like a Mekach Tos. But this Brisa goes with the opinion that says, in that situation where it was pre-marital relations that she had, and no Chiyav of Misa, not a good thing, but no chiyuv of misa, so then she would only get the ksuva of a ba'ula, which is a mana if he wishes to divorce her. Raisa continues and says, Nimso sheshem ra, eino shem ra. If it turns out that this accusation that the husband made is a false accusation, he had brought false witnesses. So then, hu lo kevinose me'asela. As the pasuk says, v'yonsho so v'yisro so, as we dash into the beginning of this year, she gets malchus and he has to pay the me'asela. And this is true, the Tanakama of this Brisa says, Bain Baal Uvain Lo Baal. This is true, whether the husband says Lo Motsasi Besulim because he slept with her, or even if they had Nisuin and he didn't sleep with her, Bain Lo Baal, even though he didn't yet have relations with her, nevertheless, the Tanakama says the penalty of Malkus and the Me'asela apply. That was the Tanakama, the Chachamim. And now we have Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Omer, we have Lezer ben Yaakov coming along and saying, no. Lo namru devarim halalu elokishabal. The penalty of Me'asela and Malkus only applies if, in fact, he had relations with her. And then this din applies. When he says, lo motzasi besulim. Okay. Now, let's look at the words of the pasuk. Every word of the pasuk seems to go exactly in accord with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, where it seems to imply that he has to have had relations with her. How are the Chachamim going to explain these words in the pasukim? So let's go through the pasukim. So Bishlom Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, says that only if he was baal her does the din of motzi shemra apply to Malkus and the me'asela. Haynu d'chsim. That's how you understand the literal words of the pasuk. It says boy leav, that he had relations with her. Boy leav, ekravi leav are words of relations. So he goes to the base and says, I had relations with her, and lomot sasi besulim. No, that's very good for Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Elul Rabbanan, how do they understand these words? My boy leav, what does he mean? According to Chacham, he doesn't have to have had relations with her. It doesn't have to be boy leav. Ekravi leav, it doesn't have to be ekravi leav. How do the Chacham understand this? Makes no sense. So where it says, no, the Chacham say it makes very good sense. They say the words, ubo eleah, shouldn't be taken literally. It means balilos. It means that he comes forward and he says that she was mizana. That's a lalila, that's a libel or an accusation. And not necessarily that he's saying that he had relations with her. And likewise, v'ekrab eleah, it means midvarim. He came to her. It doesn't mean with relations. It means that he came to her with these false accusations, if he's motzi shemra, or true accusations, if he's telling the truth. Okay. Bishlom Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, again, the words work out very well in the pasuk for Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who says that it's only if he had relations. He says, I didn't find your daughter to be a besula. He had relations with her instead, either Pesach, Besuah, Matzasi, or there was no dam on the sheet. So very good, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the words fit very, very well. And again, the Rabban who say, lo baal as well, the din of Motzi Shem applies even if he didn't have relations with her. How do you understand the words? My lo matzasi levitcha besulam. I didn't find your daughter to be a virgin. If he didn't have relations with her, how would he know that? So Gemara says, according to the Chachamim, the words lo matzasi levitcha besulim, it means I didn't find for your daughter koshrei besulim. I didn't find edim that would go and negate the edim that claims that she was mizana. As Rashi says, koshrei besule biti means edim hamezimim es edov. So it means that there were no witnesses that contradicted those witnesses that said she was mizana. That's what it means. Lo motzasi levitcha besulim. I didn't find anybody that would negate those other witnesses that said that she wasn't the besula, she was mizana while she was an Aram Urasa. I didn't find anybody that would disagree with that. Okay, that's how the Chacham would dash in the words lo motzasi levitcha besulim. Again, works out very, very well. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, you need a little bit of a knetch over here to understand the Chacham. Similarly, Bishlom Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, again, he says, no problem, the words mean exactly what I'm saying. Hayna d'siv, the eileh b'sulei b'ti. The father comes along and says, look at the sheets. These are the dam of my daughter. How can you say she wasn't a besula? So those words work out very, very well, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Ela Rabbanan, could the Rabbanan say that lo baal, the same thing applies? How do you understand this? My eileh b'sulei b'ti. What does it mean? He brings forward the sheets with the besulam on them, the dam on them. There was no relations. So Gemara says, the Chacham would understand this, Ve'eleh b'sulei biti means Ve'eleh, these are koshrei b'sulei biti. These are the witnesses that come along and testify that your witnesses are false witnesses. And by the definition, if they're going to negate what they said, and they said, how can you possibly say on Tuesday this Znus happened? You were us in Chicago on Tuesday. You weren't in New York where you're claiming the Znus occurred. So then there would be Edim Zomnim, and then we would give the false witnesses, Kasher Zom and Lassos, we would give them Skila. Boris says, Bishlom, where was on Yaakov? Again, Rilezim Yaakov, the simple understanding of the words fits very well with the Shita, that you had to have relations in order to make the claim of Motzi Shemra. So the pasuk says, "Hanu d'siv ufarsu asimla." They spread out the sheet. It literally means the wedding night bedding that shows her dam. So works out very, very well for Elizabeth Yaakov. Nu, the chacham, how did they understand this? Hello, Rabbanu Mai ufarsu asimla. They spread out the sheet. How are you going to understand that? So Rabbi Avoh explains the chacham as follows. Oh, Rabbi Avoh, perishu, not pirsu, but it's perishu mashisom law. So they say that he explained this false accusation that her husband was making against her. Kidatanya. It means uparsu hasimla malami shaboim edim shozeh. The edim shozeh, that the witnesses are coming. The husband brings along his witnesses, and then the kala, either she or her father, brings along the witnesses that support her story. Uborin es hadaber kisimlo chadosh, and the basin has to go and figure out what's going on over here. Like a nice, clean, white sheet. Kisimlo chadosha. Like a brand new piece of clothing or a brand new sheet. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Omer, Dvarim Kisavit. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov in this brisa says, no, you read the words literally. Simlo mamish. That they bring out the bedding from the wedding. And the father of the kala shows the blood and says, this is the basulim of my daughter. How can you accuse her falsely? So again, this is the machlokas that we said yesterday. Now we explained it in more detail between the Chacham and Rizm Yaakov. The Chacham say whether he was Baal or not, there could be a din of Motzi Shemra. And Rizm Yaakov says only in a case where the husband actually lived with the wife and says, Lo Motzasi Lebitcho Besulim, and we dash into all the words of the Pesukim simply like Rizm Yaakov. Gemara now says, Sholach Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Rav Yaakov Bar Giorei Mishmeid Rav Yochanan. This Rabbi Yitzchak, who was the son of Rav Yaakov Bar Giorei, said over the name of Rabbi Yochanan. The following, he said, Afagav Shalom Motzin B'chol HaTorah Kula Shechilek HaKosav Ben Bio Kedark LaBio Shalom Kedarka. Even though we don't find any place in the Torah where we distinguish between whether a man or a woman had regular relations, what we call vaginal relations, versus whether they had Bio Shalom Kedark, which would mean anal rectal relations. So we don't find any place in the Torah where we make a distinction between these two. If it was an Aveira situation, if it was relations that were not permitted, so then the punishment, Lamakos or Laonshin, the punishment that we give them for either Makos for this or any other Knas that goes along with such a not allowed, non-permissible relations, we don't find the difference that the Torah makes between Bia, regular Bia, and Bia Shalokitarka. However, one place we find such a distinction is by Motzi Shemra. Except, one exception to the rule, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yaakov Bar Giorei said the name of Yochanan, Aval Motzi Shemra Chilek. In regards to Motzi Shemra, we do find that we make such a distinction. Where's the distinction? We say that the Motzi Shemra is only Chayev the Malkus, and the Meir Sela ain't no Chayev Ad Sheyivol Shalokitarka, that he has relations with her that are not normal relations. It's not Kidarka, it's not vaginal relations. But then he accuses her of a Yotzi Shemra Kidarka, and he brings the false witnesses or accuses her of having Rahman al-Islam committed adultery while she was a Nara Mirasa. That was that he claims that that was Kidarka. So according to this statement that said over the name of Yochanan, that's where we find the difference between Kidarka and Shalom Kidarka. Now, Gemara says this doesn't seem to fit either the opinions that we just brought down, neither the Chacham nor Elazar Yaakov. Why is that? Because, come on, who does the Rabbi Yochanan hold like that you're saying this? If you're telling me he holds like the Rabbanon, Iki Rabbanon, who hold that it's whether she had relations or not, Apagav, the low ball. So what difference does it make if even no relations, why should that be better than having Bia Shaloki Darka? So it doesn't make sense according to the Chacham. You don't have to have any relations, so certainly why should relations Shaloki Darka make it worse? Iki Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, if you're telling me that it's going like the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and we turn to Mevavo Mebeis, so then, Idi Kedarka Bina, he says it has to be regular relations. He has to have had relations with her in a normal fashion, and then accuse her of having relations with her her adulterer in a normal fashion. So we're stuck over here. If you're telling me Rabbi Yochanan says this is an example on the chalik between Bia Shadaka and Bia Shalokadaka, so it doesn't go according to either of the two known Tanoic opinions that we have. So what says Yitaka, right? Ella, that was a misunderstanding of what Rabbi Yochanan had said. That which Rabbi Yitzchak bar Rabbi Yaakov bar Giorei said over the name of Rabbi Yochanan was incorrect. In fact, the right thing is as follows. Elo Sholach Rav Kahana Mishmei Rav Yochanan. It was Rav Kahana who said over the name Rav Yochanan, Eino Chayev Achi Yivol Kidarka, that you're only Chayev in this situation if you have Bia Kidarka, V'yotzi Shema B'chidarka, and that in fact there's no chilik over here, that you go like the opinion of Lezim and Yaakov, the only Chayev Motzi Shema if he had relations with Kidarka and he accuses her of having relations with her adulterer with Bia Kidarka. Ah, very good. Now we go to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Ha'ov zakai bevito b'kidu sheha b'kesef b'shtar u'bibiyah. A father has the right to go and give over his daughter in Kiddushin, and he can give over his daughter in Kiddushin to her husband with the three mechanisms via which Kiddushin can occur. He can give it to her b'kesef. In other words, when the husband gives a ring to his wife, so that's the kesef. It could be kesef or shava kesef. All men gets to use a ring, but he could give $100 for the same din of Kiddushin. So that kesef goes to the father of Zakai Bevito. The father has the rights in his daughter when he marries her off to get the kesef. He gets the shtar, or he can marry her off via shtar if he wishes to, and Bevia. He can give her over to her husband and say, you have relations with her, that will be the Kiddushin. Of course, this is something that we learned in the Gemara in Yevamos that is a terrible thing to do. We are never Makadish Bevia. Rav would be mangit. He would go and give lashes to anybody who did this. But nevertheless, the din midarais is a woman can be married because of bishtar ubibiyah. So the father has the right to marry off his daughter until she reaches a certain age with kesef, shtar, and bia. Okay. Likewise, the father is zakai b'mitziyasa. The father is entitled to anything that his daughter finds. Again, before she's a bogaris, the father, she's in the father's domain. So anything that she finds while she's a ketana or a nara belongs to the father. He's supporting her, so he's entitled to her metzias. As Gemara is going to say, it's going to lead to a lot of hatred if the daughter finds all these things and gets to keep them, and the father has to pay for everything that the daughter needs, so therefore it's going to lead to eva. And therefore, the father is entitled to get over here a metzias. And likewise with Maisi Adenu, she does a little sewing on the side, she does some babysitting on the side, she earns some money on the side. So the father is entitled to the Maisi Adel, whatever she earns. And likewise, the father has the right to go be made for her. On the day that he hears her Nidarim, he has the right to go be made for her Nidarim. Likewise, if she only was married the first stage of marriage, so then the father can accept the get on her behalf. Makabel is Gita. Again, she's a Ketana. Therefore, the father is able to be Makabel her get. Of course, we're talking here that she didn't have Nisuin. Once she's a full-fledged Nisua, so then she's a full-fledged married woman, Midaraisa, and then she's Makabel her own get. So the father has the right to be makabel to get while she's still in arusa if the husband divorces her. The ein ochel peros b'chaya. And another din is that if she inherited something, she has money independent of her father. So let's say her mother, Rachman al-Islam, passed away. She was the only daughter, only child that the mother had. So she inherits her mother. Her mother wasn't married to her father at the time, otherwise the father would inherit her. But she has a single mother, and she, this young girl, inherits her mother. So the father doesn't have the right to the field and the peros of that field that the daughter had. So this field that she has, it produces $100 worth of peros every year. The father doesn't get that. As we'll see, her husband would get that. The husband has the right to the peros of the nichse malug or tzon barzo that she brings into the marriage, but the father doesn't have those rights. The father has to go put that aside for her as her eventual dowry. Okay. The Mishnah says, Nises, if the woman, however, is now fully married, until now we've been talking about she wasn't married, or at most she was an arusa, but now if she becomes a full-fledged nisua, so now she's fully married, so her husband has more rights, so to say, financially to her than did her father. Yasser lo v'baal, her husband has the following rights. Number one, she'ochel peros b'chayah, any properties that she has, the husband is entitled to eat the fruits of those properties, and the husband also has additional obligations. He's obligated, he has to go and pay for her food. If Rachmon Litzlan, she is captured, he has to go and redeem her. Pirkona means to redeem her from the captives. He has to pay the ransom price. And Rachmon Litzlan, she dies, he has to go and bury her. Those obligations were technically not on the father, so they're on the husband. Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda Omer, afil oni should be Yisrael, even the poorest people in Klai Yisrael, lo yivchos mishnei chalilin umekonenes. The husband has to go and pay for at least two people to play the chalil. This is a mournful type of an instrument that will lead people to be misavil over the loss of the woman. it's appropriate that there should be mourning at the time of the burial, umikonenes, and for a woman to go and lead them in the various types of kinos, mikonenes, the various types of dirges that they sing at the levaya, and therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, even the poorest husband has to go and pay for these things. Now, how is he disagreeing with the Tanakhama? We'll wait till we get to the Gemara to see the machlokis over here. Okay, the Gemara starts off and says, the father of Zakai Bebito Bekidushel Bekesef Minolan. Where do we see that the father is entitled to get the Kesef Kedushin when he sells off his daughter? We know that he has the right to go and marry off his daughter. And where do we see that he has the right, however, to get the Kesef Kedushin? Maybe he has the right to marry her off, but she gets the Kesef Kedushin. So I'll review that. The Amor review that says, it's based upon the following pasuk, Amar Kra, V'yotso Chinam in Kosef. Now this is talking about a girl who's sold by the father to be a Amor Ha'ivriya. And she works for up to 6 years. If she becomes a Nara, then she leaves at that point in time. So she could work for 6 years, and then she becomes a Nara. V'yotso Chinam. She goes out free. She doesn't have to pay anything to go out. So she goes out free, it says. V'yotso Chinam. However, then it says, Ein Kosef. There's no monetary payment. So the words Ein Kosef are totally unnecessary. So what it tells us over here, this is what Rabbi Yehuda is darshining in this pasuk. He says, Ein Kosef Lodon Zeh, that there is no payment that's made over to the person who she was serving as an Amor Avriya to, her master, while she was an Amor Avriya, he doesn't get any money. Ein Kosef Lodon Zeh, implication being, however, Ein Kosef Lodon Zeh, V'yesh Kosef Lodon Acher. But the pasuk, when it says Ein Kosef, it's talking about her master, but as opposed to her father. When she leaves her father's domain, when her father marries her off, that Kosef does go to her father. V'yesh Kosef Lodon Acher, Umanu, who is that person? Avia, that's her father. So when the father goes and marries off his Kitana or his Nara, his younger girl, so then he is entitled to the Kesef Kedushin. We darshan now from the pasuk, V'yotso Chinam Ein Kosef, from the extra words Ein Kosef. New Gemara says, who says that? That means that it goes to the father. Maybe it goes to her. After all, she is entitled to that Kesef. As Rashi says, maybe it should go to the daughter. And the Kra, the pasuk that comes along, Kiyosa Lashminan, what does it come to teach us? Also, she nikness labab kedusha kesef, that the father has the right to go and give her over via kedusha kesef. And yudarshin v'hochi tidrushe en kesef biyitzia zu avoyesh kesef biyitzia acheres. However, uliolam didohevi, but it belongs to her. Doesn't belong to her father. This pasuk is just telling us that yes, she is entitled to be married off by the father, but the kesef kedusha goes to her. Where do you see from the words en kosef that means that she doesn't get the kesef, that the father gets the kesef? So one says, no. Hashtav yimakabu kiddusha. If the father can go and accept kiddushin on her behalf, he can marry off his daughter, as the pasuk says, Yosef, esbiti nosati li shazeh, as we just learned in the Motzi Shemra situation, where the father says, I gave my daughter over to this man. So there, clearly the father has the rights to go and marry her off. So e shokla kaspa, would it be possible to suggest that while he has the right to give her off, so she has the right to get the money? Doesn't make any sense. If he has the right to give her off to marriage, so he has the right to go and collect the kesef kedushin. Mar says, okay, that could possibly work. That could work while she doesn't have the halachic ability to accept kedushin. The ketana isn't a bar das and can't accept kedushin. So that's great. The less loyad, in that situation, she doesn't have the ability to marry off herself. So when the father marries her off, we can understand why the father should get the kesef kedushin. Fine, we could agree to that. However, Avol Nahara, but once she reaches the Nahara stage, the Islayat, she's now a Bar Das, she's considered a full-fledged adult in terms of all the mitzvos, and therefore, she could accept her own Kiddushin. So in that situation, so then she could go and marry herself off, so therefore, she should get the Kesef Kiddushin, whether she marries herself off, or whether her father marries her off. So how can you see over here, from the Pasuk, V'yotso Chinom Ein Kosef, that the father gets the rights to the money? So that's not the right pasuk. So Gemara says, you're right. Let's learn it out from this pasuk. Albeit, we're going to come back and say this is the right pasuk. But for now, we're rejecting it. The Yotso Chinom Ein Kosef, we're saying, is not the right pasuk. But instead, Omar Kra, and we had this drasha previously, we learn it out from Binurea Beisavia, that while she was a Nara in her father's house, so then the father's entitled to everything. Kol Shevach Neurim Leavia. Anything that she brings into the house while she's a Nara belongs to the father, including the Kesef Kedushin. But Gemara says that can't be right, because if this drasha is right, Binurea Beisavia, why did Rav have to bring down the following drasha to teach us a certain din? If we could have learned that from Binurea Beisavia, so then You learn how Shvach Neurim Leaviyah. So why did Rav have to bring the following pasuk? What's the following pasuk? The Alaha the Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav. Rav Huna said the name of Rav. Minayin Shemaisei Habas Leaviyah. Where do we know that the Maisei Odeh of a child goes to the father? So why didn't he use the pasuk Shevach Neurim Leaviyah? We could have said Binu Rabbi Saviyah to teach us this, but instead Rav Huna Amar Rav tells us Shenema, because we have a different pasuk. It says V'chiyimkar Ishes Bitol Yom. Again, we had this drasha previously when a man sells off his daughter to be an Amo Evriyah. So just like Ma Amo Maisi Adel Rabba, just like this Amo Evriyah, any work that she does, so her master, the one who she was sold to, is entitled to go and get all her Maisi Adel. He's paying to support her. He's paying to take care of her, so he gets the Maisi Adel. So we learn out too Avbas. The daughter, while she's in the father's domain, Maisi Odeh Leaviyah. So too, any Maisi Odeh go to her father. Now, Lomeli, if you're telling me Binu Rav Beis Aviyah is a good drasha, so why did Rav Huna Amar Rav have to bring this drasha? Lomeli, Tabuk like me Binu Rav Beis Aviyah. So obviously, Binu Rav Beis Aviyah is not the right drasha. Because Ella, how far is the Dharma Diksev? Because Rav Huna Amar Rav says that this pasuk Binu Rav Beis Aviyah is only talking about Nedarim. And therefore, the father has the right to be made for his daughter's nedarim, but how does that tell you anything about Shevach Neurim Leaviyah? So he disagrees with that drasha, and that's why you have to bring the drasha of comparison v'chiyim kor ishes bito liyama to teach us this din. Okay, the Gemara says, so fine, once we learn out by hafaras the dharm that the father has the right to, let's learn that out as a binyanav and learn it out. If you're going to tell me, let's learn that as a binyanav, you can't learn it as a binyanav and say the father has the rights to be made for his daughters and dharm, so therefore he's entitled to her monetary benefits, her maisi yodeh and her mitziyosa as well. That you can't learn out as a binyanav because mamona mei isurim liyafinam, because they're two different categories. One is financial and the other one is isurim. The hafaras the dharm is isurim and the maisi yodeh mitziyasa, that's mamona. You can't learn out one from the other. Let's learn out for money of the knas. V'chitema nelef miknasa. So we had already previously learned that if the woman, rachmona litzlan, had been a mafuta or an anusa, if she was in fact seduced or raped, so then the father gets the knas. So mamona, let's learn it out from this knas. So the Gemara says, let's learn out her mitzios and maisi odeh from the fact that the father gets the knas. So too, the father gets her maisi odeh and the mitzios of her. The Gemara says, no, you can't. Mamona mi knas aloyafinu. These are two different categories as well. While they're both money, but knas is different than a mamon, such as a maisi odeh, and therefore you can't learn out one from the other. Let's learn it out from a straightforward monetary penalty, such as v'chitema nelef miboshes upagam. The father's entitled to get her boshes and pagam, so therefore the father should also be entitled to get her maisi odeh. No, again, this is different. Just like we said, you can't learn out mama miyisura, you can't learn out mama miknatsa, so too you can't learn this out from boshes upagam to maisi odeh, because shiny boshes upagam davia nami shayach bek, because this is something, the boshes upagam, the father has the right, as we've learned already, and Rashi reminds us over here, the father has the right to sell her off to a person who's a mukosh shchid, to a person who would be a terrible shidduch. If the father was a chas v'shalom willing to do so, he could go and sell his daughter off to a menuvel or to a mucha shchin, and therefore the boshes and pagam, technically the father has the right to them. So therefore, he can't learn out from here, maisi odeh. So we're stuck. We don't have a source from Binurei Beis Aviyah, and we don't have a source from Yotzei Chinam Ein Kasef. So what's the source that teaches that the father is entitled to the Kesef Kiddushin, or Mishnah, or Zaka Mevita B'Kiddushel, B'Kesef, where do we see that? Someone says, let's go back to the original drasha. El mistabra, v'chimimayit rachmana, when we have in the words, v'yotzo chinom ein kosef, so that was the right drasha. Yitzio de kavase komimai. It's coming to teach us that in this situation, there is no kesef, but in the situation with the father, there is kesef. Rashi explains in Dibra Maskul, yitzio de kavase komimayit, that the woman, when she works as an amo evriya, so in that situation, so every day that she works, so to say, is a prorated amount that the man had paid for her to be his slave. So every day she works, that knocks off on a prorated basis how much kesef is left. And therefore, at the end of the term, there's no kesef left. So in that situation, ein kosef. She goes out from him, yitzio de kavase komimai. So too, when she leaves from the father's house and is married to this person, she has nothing when she leaves the person who she was sold as an Omho Evriya to, so too, she has nothing when she leaves her father's domain. So that's how Yitzio de Kavasi Komimayit, the way she leaves the master is the same way she leaves her father's rishus. When she goes to go and be married to this person, the father gets the kesef kedusha. So she gets nothing when she leaves the amor evriya status, and she gets nothing when she leaves her father to go get married to this person. The kesef kedusha goes to the father. Rashi is another pshat. It's very unusual. Rashi says, "Vani shomati." He gives another pshat, and he says, "I darshan this pshat that way in the Sechas Kedushin, pirashtia beloshon shomati." However, ubekosh, I don't really like that pshat. So it's a very tough pshat to fit in. No, I fit it in over there, but I don't really like it. Okay. In any event, this pshat that we just gave is the answer. We learned that from Yosef Chimamin Kosef, that just like she went out without any money from a master, so too she goes out from her father without getting any money. Where it says, but the two cases aren't comparable. When she leaves her father, that's not the same as when she leaves her master. In regards to the master, after the 6 years and she leaves, she has zilch to do with him. She's no longer connected to him in any way. As opposed to Yitzia Da'ab, when she leaves her father's status, so she becomes an arusa, still, akate michsira misira lechuppah. She's still someone in her father's domain, and that she's lacking going to the chuppah. The father still, with her husband, is made for her nedarim. The father still has a certain ownership over her, in the sense that he's makabel or ged at that point in time when she's a katana. So therefore, you can't say that the two are comparable. When she leaves the master, it's just like when she left the father. She didn't fully leave the father. So it's not comparable to when she leaves the master, so maybe this drush is not correct. Gemara says, no. May afaras nedarim miyo nafkalo mirishuse. No, she is no longer fully under his domain in regards to afaras nedarim. Ditnan, as we learned in the Mishnah in nedarim, that anara murasa avi ubalam if you're in law nedarav. No, that's exactly it. She left her father. She's not the same way that she was with her father beforehand, just like she's not the same way as she was with her master as an amo evriya beforehand. So therefore, this is the drasha, and this is how we learn out the kesef kiddushin goes to the father. Then the Mishnah said, shtar u'bia, it also goes to the father. Minolon, how do we know that he has the power to get the shtar and to give her over in bia? So the Gemara says, minolon, how do we know that? So I'm a crot. We base it upon the pasuk. It says, v'haisul ish acher, that she will become the wife of another man, that the father has the right to give her over. So all three ways that the father has the right to give her over, the father has the possession of the kesef, shtar, and the right to give her over in bia. V'haisul ish acher, iskush havoyos le'adode. We make connection between them. As Rashi says, ma kesef birishus oviyah, just like the kesef goes to the father, so too he has the right to give her over with shtar. That's another way to get married, or to give her over for bia to her husband. That's another way to get married. Again, as we pointed out, we don't do the latter part ever nowadays. So you never get married via bia. The kiddush shtar bia, the mekadesh is bo yafirim bikiddushin. How do we know that? So that's learned out in kiddushin. Anyway. That's our drasha for the first part of the Mishnah, that the father is zakai bevito bekidusha bekesef bishtar biya. We'll just do one more thing. How do we know that zakai bemitziosa? How do we know that the father is zakai in her mitzios as well? And we turn to Mem Zayin with Aleph. I brought this down earlier. That's why I wanted to finish this off. Mishum Eva, because it doesn't make any sense that the father has to support his daughter, and now we're not going to give the father anything that the daughter brings in, such as any mitzios that she finds. So they go to the father and then stay with the daughter. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's share.